So, Father, we would pray for your grace and your mercy. And we pray that you would help us to believe, help us to trust. For in this we are still dependent on you. Through these days that we have together, Holy Spirit, we would ask that you would swell inside of us and you would testify with our spirit that we are the children of God, and you would lead us into a deeper understanding of all the joy and responsibility that comes with that designation. And now, Lord, we pray that you would speak through what you have spoken. May it be so. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Good evening. My name is Michael, and I have the privilege for the first few days here to open up the Word of God with you. And in doing that tonight, I'd like to make a statement that I think at the first is going to sound borderline, if not beyond borderline, simplistic. It's a statement that I would venture to guess the vast majority of people in here would agree with wholeheartedly. But there's an ironic thing about this statement, and the ironic thing is that inasmuch as we would agree with our voices that this statement is not only true, but actually fundamental to everything else that we do in our lives, whether it's our spiritual lives or our non-spiritual lives, as if there is really any designation between those two things, that inasmuch as we would assent to agreement with this statement, I would venture to say that at best, it is a truth and a reality that we are growing up into, and at worst, is a statement that very few of us actually believe. So here is the statement. Here is the statement for tonight. The statement is just a few words. This is it. The gospel is the center of everything. The gospel is the center of everything. And you can take everything and you can plug anything else in there that you want. The gospel is the center of marriage. The gospel is the center of athletics. The gospel is the center of your physics class. The gospel is the center of aeronautical engineering. The gospel is the center of microbiology. The gospel is the center of graduate school. The gospel is the center of friendships. The gospel is the center of what you ate for dinner tonight. The gospel is the center of everything. That's the statement. Now, it's a statement that we can all get behind, yeah? But the question is, do we really believe that? Because, as we all know, beliefs are not really measured with the mouth. They're measured with the feet. It's not typically the way that we think about the gospel. Usually we think about the gospel, that is the truth of the life, the death, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the righteousness that is given to us on the basis of his sacrifice, not on the basis of what we have done. Our entrance point into the kingdom and the family of God. Most of us tend to think about the gospel as the starting point for Christianity. So if we were running a race, and that's a biblical metaphor, you find it throughout the New Testament. If we're running the race, in that line of thinking, the gospel is the starting blocks. If you've ever run track, which I have not, so I'm going off of hearsay at this point. But the word on the street is that if you run track, the starting blocks are really important. That's what you brace yourself against. And it's imperative for you to have firm footing against the starting blocks, because the starting blocks launch you off into the race. So I'm not diminishing the importance of the starting blocks. I'm saying that the starting blocks are a very, very important part of the race. It's the beginning point of the race. That's the launching point into whatever dash that you're running in. Typically, that's the way that we think about the gospel, that that's the starting point of the Christian life. So you brace yourself against these truths, against what you believe. Jesus Christ, born of a virgin, lived a perfect life, died a sacrificial death, righteousness imputed to us. and you're off. And then in the race, you get into this other stuff of Christianity. When you're running along, that's when you get into the really deep things of Christianity. You push off against the gospel and you get into the really deep stuff of Christianity over here. When you're on the race, then you talk about like predestination and election, and you talk about what lampstands and locusts mean, and you talk about whether Kirk Cameron is going to be there to see it all. That's what you talk about once you're on the race. But what if the gospel is not the starting blocks? What if the gospel is the entire track? And what if this truth about the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ is not something that you're meant to brace yourself upon in order to launch out into the race of life, but rather it's meant to be the driving force, the center of everything else that you ever do? At some point in our thinking, we've gotten the notion that you push off against the gospel and then you move on into more essential matters once you're out there running the race. But one of the things that's imperative for us to understand this week is the gospel is not the starting blocks. The gospel is the entire track. Because when you get that in your mind, everything else starts to click into place and starts to make sense in God's design for your life and for the world as a whole. Now, if you've taken some time to thumb through your notebook, you've seen that the particular theme of Collegiate Week this year is one single word, and the single word is connection. We've watched videos about different kinds of connections. These are videos about people who have connected with mentors and discipling relationships. These are connections that we are meant to have. We're meant to connect with people all over the place, all over our schools, all over the world. We're meant to connect with families, with spouses, with girlfriends, with boyfriends, with brothers, with sisters, with parents. We're meant to have all of these connections. And in the realm of those connections, there is stuff that is passed back and forth. We receive things from connections, and we're meant to give things away from connections. Now, if the gospel is not just the starting blocks, but actually the entire race that you run, you begin to see that no matter what connection you have in your life, no matter what connection that is, whether it's with your family, your friends, your professors, no matter what connection we're talking about in life, that the center point of that connection, the driving force behind that connection, is the gospel. But in order for us to really understand how the gospel can do that, how the gospel can drive all of those connections, we've got to put on a pair of glasses that are tinted with gospel-colored lenses. So that is means that you need to start looking at things. We've got to start looking at stuff, whether it's ordinary or extraordinary, through the eyes of the gospel. Now, it seems very ambitious to say that you can do that about all of life. But I think that it's something that we do anyway, and we've been doing that with different things other than the gospel from the time when we were kids. I hold up my 7-year-old son as an example. His name's Joshua. And like most other 7-year-old boys in the entire world, he is completely fascinated with Star Wars. You can clap, that's fine. Case in point. A lot of 7-year-old boys here. Ironically, it's the same obsession that 7-year-old boys had 25 years ago when I was a 7-year-old boy. It's Star Wars. Everything is Star Wars. Star Wars Legos. You got Star Wars plates that you eat off of. Everything is Star Wars. It's like every single thing. He has put on Star Wars tinted lenses and he sees everything through it. I mean, a couple of months ago, we were out on a family walk. We've got two other kids. Joshua is 7. We have a daughter. Her name is Andy and she's 4. And then we have another son whose name is Christian and he's 19 months old. And so there we are, tooling down the street, the perfect American family, 3 kids. Pushing the stroller, one in that, he's babbling. I'm next to my wife. We're walking along, looking at each other about how great life is and all that sort of thing. Joshua and his sister Andy are lagging behind. And then all of a sudden, I hear this whack. And I turn around, and my beautiful, sweet 4-year-old daughter has crumbled to the ground. And she's writhing around on the street, holding the back of her leg. And her brother Joshua, who I have tried to instill in him to be her protector, is standing over him, holding over her, holding a stick like this. And so she's weeping. He is posed to run up to him. Joshua, what are you doing? She's your sister. How could you hurt her like that? And he looked at me with just incredulous look on his face. And he said, Dad, I do not know what to tell you. She was an imperial spy. And so, of course, that explains everything. Do you see it? Do you see what he does? I mean, that's the way that he lives his life right now. He lives his life looking at the world through gospel, through Star Wars tinted glasses. Every stick is a lightsaber. Every annoying sibling is an imperial spy. You know, every tree is the Death Star that's meant to be attacked. It's all Star Wars all the time. We do it with everything else. Some of you do it with relationships. You guys know what it's like when you're in the first 2 weeks of a new relationship, when you're just getting to know each other, and you're having fights about who's going to get off the phone first at the end of the night. No, you get off the phone. No, I'm going to hang up. No, I'll hang up. No, I'll hang up. Okay, we're going to hang up together on three. One, two, three. I didn't hang up. Neither did I. You're sending each other Farmville requests all the time. Can't get enough of each other. Everything is viewed through that set of glasses because you're in that period of infatuation. So one of the things that I am praying for this week, and I would encourage and exhort and urge you to pray along with me, is that God would do what God can do, and that is that he would open the eyes of our heart, that our eyes of our hearts would be enlightened. This is a biblical prayer straight from the book of Ephesians. That the eyes of our hearts would be opened. We would be enlightened to the hope of his glorious call. And that we would begin to see to a new extent the magnitude, the greatness, the universe-shaking power and love and grace displayed in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And come to understand that this is not something that you push off of so that you can get on to the business of living. It's something that informs and fuels everything that you do, every relationship that you have, every connection that you make. This is God's design for your life. Now, that becomes particularly relevant when we talk about the theme of this week, which once again is about connection. And on the whole, what we're going to talk about in these sessions together are things that we receive from those connections and things that we are supposed to give away. This is how it's supposed to work in the kingdom of God, that we receive and we give. And you don't have to look to the New Testament to find that idea. In fact, if you go back to the Old Testament, first book, Genesis chapter 12, you find God setting apart his man for his work, the call of Abraham, Genesis chapter 12. And God says very specifically in Genesis chapter 12, this to Abraham. He says, Abraham, leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great. And why would God do this? Why would God grant all of this favor to Abraham? Why would he bestow on him this unmerited privilege? It is for this reason. And you, Abram, will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. This is how connection is supposed to work. That God comes, he blesses someone, but that person doesn't treat that blessing like he or she is a sponge and just sort of soak it up so that they can be smarter or more spiritual or more prosperous or whatever the blessing is. They are meant to be a conduit of that blessing to other people. This was God's design for the people of Israel, and it's still God's design for the people of God. That we are not hoarders of the blessing of God, we are conduits of the blessings of God. We receive, and then we pass. That's what we're supposed to do. That's who we are. And all of that, all of those connections, some of those connections by which we receive and other connections that we're involved with in which we pass on the knowledge of God to other people, all of those connections are centered on and fueled by the gospel. The gospel is the center of everything. I want to build this whole week around the idea of what is passed on to us and what we are meant to pass on to others. Sometimes positive things, sometimes negative things. And in the back of our minds, by God's grace, we'll come to a greater understanding of how the gospel is the center of all of the connections that we make in life. Will you pray with me to that end? Does that work for you? Are you picking that up, what I'm putting down? And let's pray together. And when I say let's pray together, can we actually please do that? Can we for real do that? Because I'm the guy that is the bow your head and close your eyes and think about what's coming next guy. That's me. Maybe that's not you. That's me. But I don't want to be that guy. I want to be the guy that actually not only prays, but in this moment, chooses to actually trust that the Lord is going to do what we ask him to do. Can we do that together? The best way that we know how, to pray and actually choose to believe. Father, that's what we do. The best way that we can, as imperfect as it is, as fallible as we are, we ask you, by your grace, that you would help us to a greater extent to see how the gospel fuels and drives every connection that we have in life. We believe that you'll do it. We know that you want us to understand this so that glory and honor might be brought to the name of Jesus Christ. So the best we can, we tell you that we trust you. Open the eyes of our hearts that we might see. May it be so. We pray that it would be. In the name of Jesus. Amen.